This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Peter Rosenberg!
Shout out to that guy, Red.
The majesty.
Oh, my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
Delicious chicken.
It was Rapop.
It's professional. Wrestling.
The world's number one sports and recreation podcast, Cheap Heat, is back. Tuesday, February 13th. SGG, why are you putting your ones up? You're not in
the
bloodline.
Because we're the number one.
Oh.
We're the world's number one sports and recreation podcast.
Got it. You're not trying to assert that you're in the bloodline.
No, but I am in the bloodline.
You're
my
not.
Name was on. There were several S's, G's, and G's on that on that tree. They didn't put one together for me, but I was there. It was a subliminal. It's a thing that I have with the bloodline where they just
right.
shout me out subliminally.
By the way, there should be a thing WrestleMania weekend where all the crazed adult bloodline fans get together and do cosplay. Like, because let's be honest, that's. You people, I'm saying you people, meaning you bloodline freakazoid, should all get together and have your moment where you put your ones up and you call each other oos.
Listen,
and
I'm
everyone.
In.
Oh, I know you'd be there.
I'm
you
down.
Would definitely be there. It's like a bunch of Trekkies. All right, everyone, welcome to the show. A lot to get into this week. We have not done an official program, even though I've talked to both SGG and Dip in the last week. You only would have heard SGG live because I botched the audio for that part of the post show, but we've not all done a show together since the events of last Thursday. I do want everyone to know I am still in mid fight with Andrew Goldstein about this subject. In fact, yesterday it spilled into the recording of the Over the Top podcast. And I do want to get a quick plug in. If you're a listener of Cheap Heat, love for you to subscribe to Over the Top as we try to build that thing. It is a fun time every week. And we actually usually hit like at least one wrestling topic every week. Go subscribe to Over the Top with me and Michelle Beadle, wherever you find podcasts. And while I'm getting plugs in, get your tickets for the big Cheap Heat live in Philly. We are cruising towards a sellout. Cop your ticks. It is on Eventbrite. You can just search for Cheap Heat Live Philly, whatever, on Google. You'll find it easily. Buy those tickets today before they're gone. Also working on having exclusive merch that will only be available and for sale at the live show. So there's a lot of reasons you need to be in the house. But on the recording yesterday of Over the Top, when the show ended, while everyone, like we have like a whole bunch of people in the Zoom, I don't remember who said something first, me or Goldstein.
It might have been you because you set it off in the text, I think, today, too.
I do. I've been setting it off because I can't get over it.
It might have been you.
So, and then he said something back about, you know, basically, and I don't want to have Goldstein on the pod for two reasons. One, he never listens to the podcast, so he doesn't deserve to come on, even though I love the man with all my heart. If you don't listen, if you don't even know the arguments being made, you don't get to come on the podcast. Now, number two is I don't want to just berate him, and I feel like the three of us will just end up berating him because we're all on the same page.
I want to berate Goldstein. Can you get him on here so we can berate him?
Exactly. And you're not wrong for wanting to berate him. His big argument that he makes the most about what he didn't like about last week's presser is that he didn't think The Rock actually turned. As he described it, The Rock sounded like an angry school teacher at the beginning, and he sounded like an angry school teacher at the end. Nothing ever happened that made him, quote, turn. And I mean,
is he forgetting that he bitch slapped Cody?
Well, and what I would argue is that he didn't turn full heel purposefully. They're dragging out the story, but it was a major character change. And to me, and I said this to him, this is where we kept coming to an impasse, is I said, dude, he was like, well, why did he turn then? I said, because of the week prior. It was because of the social media outcry for Cody. I said to him, I was like, dude, you're booking this like it's 1988. They now keep in mind the things. They know the fans know what's happening outside during the week. So they didn't have to squeeze the whole story into this presser. It was through the social media. It was through the appearance on Pat McAfee earlier that day. And then it was in the moment there. And he did not, purposefully, he did not completely turn heel. He could still get up. What, did fully turn?
I think so.
I disagree. Well, then, hear me out. Okay. He showed you he's a bad guy. He showed you he's willing to associate with bad guys to be a part of the bad side. He did.
That's the turn right there.
But what I'm saying is there's still room for it to go further. And that's what I like about it. Like Andrew's kind of saying is it was all just in sort of tone and it was too understated. What I'm saying was, yeah, it was a little bit understated, but it was still clear and decisive, and it gives them room to do more with the character as we go forward. We have a long way till WrestleMania.
You're not wrong. And you're not wrong. I don't understand. Cause I know what he said in the group chat too, is he said he's waiting for him to snap. And I'm just like, yo, you're one letter off. He didn't snap, but he slapped Cody. Like the hottest baby face they have
in years.
He got in his face and he put hands on him. And if you watch the video, you know, first you see Cody and Roman and Heyman and they're in the frame. And then when The Rock emerges slowly, he emerges from the heel side, obviously, in front of Heyman and Roman, and then slaps, as he says, he slaps the shit out of Cody. There's nothing more decisive than that.
Well, I guess he's saying maybe not enough happened to make him want to do that. I guess he didn't believe. But what I'm saying is the reason it's easy to believe is look at the whole last week. It was a week of buildup that led to it. Go ahead, Dip.
What's with the cursing with The Rock? He's obsessed with cursing.
He's a heel. He has to let you know that he's not PG anymore.
I don't know what it is. It doesn't make sense, the cursing. I know Peter agrees that the cursing is too much.
Not only do I agree, it's a little bit weird. I thought last night Cody was going to call him out for it. I thought that when Cody was cutting his promo on The Rock, I thought he was going to throw in like, we get it, you're cool, you have to curse all the time. But I thought maybe he was going to do it. And then I was like, but it could. The problem is, even though I think the cursing is too much, it'll make Cody seem like too much of a nerd to call out the cursing.
Yeah, but and also
so he
like
can't do it.
And also like you could call out The Rock, but you can't really bust on The Rock to a degree that makes him even though like he's clearly been a great sport. I mean, I don't know. That's a big statement. But he's been a pretty good sport now that he's kind of drifting with the wind a little bit.
Well, but remember, he let Cena do it. Cena went off on him all the time.
He did. I mean, who remembers at this point?
He did. I mean, Cena was pretty. Cena talked his trash about The Rock.
I ate for dinner last night.
I know. I'm telling you, though. I think my assumption is if The Rock is here, all is fair. And if it's not, though, but here's the thing. Wouldn't it be great? Everything can fit into the storyline. If The Rock were really to complain that like Cody said too much, then you could really just come back if you're Cody. And I mean, then you start really blurring lines between real life being like, I can't even say anything to the board member. He goes running to his friends. I can't say anything.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or even better, you have The Rock lean into it. It's like, okay, if you have a problem with what he said, you're a board member. You do it yourself. Like, you advertise a Cody appearance and then have The Rock come on the big screen and be like, yeah, tonight's appearance from Cody is canceled because he stepped out of line last week.
Oh,
and you'll
so
see
much.
Him again maybe next week.
It's and there's so it. Much good. And that's why I ultimately keep fighting with Goldstein. And that's why I'm obsessed with this fight. And he says, and he made fun of himself in very Trumpian terms. He's like, a lot of people are telling me they agree with me. I haven't met those people, okay? I'm not meeting the people who agree with him. And even if you didn't love the exact execution of last Thursday, which was, let's be honest, that's an event they may have created within the 5 days prior to that. We don't know. But even if you didn't like the execution of the event, don't you have to love where we are now as a result of it? I just don't understand being overly critical right now when, at least on this show, all we ever want is something. And they, and Dip, they showed up with a dozen egg everythings. They brought cream cheese. They brought jalapeno cream cheese. They had different kinds of bagels. They had jams. They brought some souvganiyot, all kinds of desserts. Yeah, they had everything. They had all kinds of chocolate desserts. I mean, everything was there. Iced coffee. We had a whole brunch, that much. And so to sit here now and go, oh, but it could have been better. I just, it's the one time when I'm like, you're being that guy. You're being that guy.
Well, it could always be better. Okay. But I trust in the powers that be that are deciding what happens with this storyline. As evidence with last night's Seth Rollins promo, which was one of the best in-ring promos I've ever heard. Ever.
Wow. Okay?
The exchange
just from
between
Seth Rollins or ever from anybody ever.
It was one of the most compelling segments that I've seen in years between Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes in that ring. When Seth Rollins sort of becomes grounded Seth Rollins, which I do love, and references the Shield, which I can't believe was 12 years ago. It's crazy.
I know.
And says, I am here for you against the evil bloodline. Which did sort of, SGG, cement the fact that he did sort of turn The Rock is a heel. You know, so that sort of gave it another 10% of heelness.
Oh, and we're gonna get another, and we're gonna get another 20 or 30% this week when he comes out with Roman and Heyman on SmackDown.
Yeah. Cause I was gonna say, not only is The Rock heel, there are people who believe that The Rock is the leader now. Because, again, he stepped up. He slapped Cody. When they walked out, he's in the front. Roman and Heyman are following behind him.
I can't wait, guys. I cannot wait.
There's the hierarchy shifted. I mean, even on the family tree that The Rock put up, Roman, yes, is the tribal chief. But The Rock is listed on that graphic, which we have to assume is the official bloodline family tree now, as a high chief. He's the only other high chief besides his grandfather, Peter Maivia, and he's the only living high chief on that graphic, which I think does rank tribal chief, high chief, outranks tribal chief.
How do we know we're just making this up? Oh, of course. High is above tribal. Yes,
right,
of course.
Right,
we always remember.
Yeah.
We always remember. And by the way, and that's another thing, back to my Goldstein's the real villain. He was like, oh, and a PowerPoint presentation. I love that he brought out the actual family tree. I thought it was awesome. I loved it. It was playing into this thing that for us is all like sort of real, right? And sort of part of the story, but it's like you have actual documentation. You have an actual thing. Like those are real people. And the order of the tree is real. Like that is whose people are. I mean, I don't know how much it's actually impactful in the modern day world of those people who are in the family. We have no idea. We don't know how much is for story and how much is like, no, we really care about this. I don't know. But
yeah,
I know that
there's definitely some cousins that just like want to run a grocery store or something. I don't know.
Oh, exactly. And some probably just weren't even listed. Some probably didn't get listed. And they're like, y'all didn't even list me. Yeah, we haven't talked in years.
There is a guy bagging groceries somewhere that is part of the bloodline that's like, oh, you know, my brother, my cousin's brother's sister's aunt, you know, she's Nia Jax.
By the way, what a great bit. Can you imagine a bit, though? The sketch you could do of someone bagging groceries right now at a random grocery store in Hawaii, and someone says something with an attitude, and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
When you mess up by his blood.
That's my blood. Do you like the way I pack these groceries? Or we can have another whole other conversation if you want.
Yeah.
So I think all of it is so fun. If you guys were to predict, I know one thing. I know that because The Rock is involved, so it could always be different. My assumption is that we will not get answers on what this segment is going to be until about 9:42 on Friday night. That would be my assumption, right? We'll get
I would say that's accurate, just because of who's involved.
We'll get a little shot of people walking in. We'll probably get Heyman talking at some point. Maybe a little backstage moment with like Solo and Jimmy or something. And then my guess is around 9:40, we will start to see what we get. What is your prediction? Do we simply just get Roman Reigns' theme song and they all walk out together and are Roman and Rock, you think, standing side by side? Do you think Roman's in front? What do you think we get? These are all little details that matter, in my opinion, as we head towards WrestleMania season.
I think Roman and Rock get separate entrances.
But we can't get If You Smell.
No.
So it can't be separate entrances. It can't be separate entrances.
He might get his Hollywood Rock theme song, which is just
Hollywood version would be very interesting. What if he has a new song altogether?
Yeah.
Dip, what do you think? Do you think separate entrances or together? I think together.
Yeah, it's got to be together. It's got to be together.
Because then whose music do they come into, though? Like, he can't come into Roman's music if they're...
But is that Roman's music, or is that really essentially the Bloodline's music?
Oh, it's Roman's, because when Roman's not there, you don't hear that music.
They're not coming out to the Rock's. It's got to be Roman. If you want to do it right, it's got to be the Rock's theme, or it's got to be Roman's theme, because... It
has to be, right?
Yeah, yeah, because that's the Bloodline theme, like you said.
I mean, unless they do some weird alt remix of it. If You Smell... That's the mess.
No, they can't do the blend. They can't do the blend where they put half like the rated RKO. They can't do that one.
I wonder what Rock does in terms of dress this week. Does he go again with like the pleated pants, tight tank top, loafers, chain vibe again? Is that?
Oh yeah. Listen, we've seen heel Rock. I can't believe we haven't seen it in like 20 years, but we've seen
unreal.
It before. And every time we've seen it, the gold chain and the loafers have made the outfit. And it does bring a little air of, I'm better than you, to the outfits. So I'm pretty sure that now that he's on the board and they're weaving that into the character, and we saw it when he slapped Cody, that when he comes out, the gold chain and the loafers is going to be a part of the outfit. Whatever else is there, I don't know, but the gold chain and the loafers is going to be there.
Do you think that he will wear Jermaine Dupri's socks and loafers is the question, and tuxedo shorts? That is... Dip, did you not see this from the Super Bowl?
No. I saw Jermaine Dupri, but I didn't notice what he was wearing.
It was awful. It was awful.
I don't normally like the internet, and like the group think of the internet is not usually my favorite thing. However, the insults for Jermaine Dupri were so funny. You know, like people making it sound like he looks like a little British lad who just wants to have his biscuits and jam.
a little British lad from like 1903 or something with the
I'm just hungry for my porridge and berries. Mama.
People are so critical of everything that goes on at that Super Bowl.
Whoever approved that outfit need to be fired. And if they let him dress himself, then he needs to be put in timeout.
It was the most scrutinized thing on earth, the Super Bowl. Forget the game. Everything else is so under a microscope. It's like, oh my God, I'm terrified of this thing.
People are incredibly, incredibly critical at the Super Bowl. It's the ultimate, I mean, it's the biggest music event of the year. It's the only concert that the whole world watches together. And Jermaine Dupri's fit was just, I mean, who are
I
you?
I have to go back and look at it.
Who were you watching with? This is important.
Like a large group of friends.
It was a big topic of conversation in my group immediately.
Oh, no, not mine at all.
It was.
I'll look it up right now.
It was immediately. Is that CeeLo Green? First, people thought it was CeeLo Green.
Well, no one knew it was. Was that Will.i.am?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so no one. I mean, what are you doing? Okay.
Oh, my God. Like, oh, my God. I have something. Will.i.am was like a Tony Khan booking. Like at the end of the show, you know, we're going to bring out Will.i.am. And you're like, who is that? He's standing in the ring and it's a Japanese wrestler. Three people have seen perform and Tony Khan's jumping up and down. Like I just booked the biggest surprise ever. No one knew it was Will.i.am. I knew I did, but it was like,
I did not.
Exactly.
No idea.
I only know because Apple had like teased it. And I was like, why are you teasing Will.i.am? All due respect. It's like, people aren't going to pop for that. But I think he's connected to Apple. I think there's a Will.i.am Apple Music relationship.
I mean, it was dope. I loved it. I thought the whole thing was amazing.
Yeah. The whole thing was, I mean, that, yeah, without question, it was dope. I was looking at it. It may be the best one. I mean, I would argue, I know this will be controversial as the hip hop guy. I thought it was better than the Dre and Snoop one from 2 years ago. I would say it's the best one in quite a while. If you look back now, I enjoy, of course, the songs of the Dre, Snoop, Eminem one. But with all due respect to all of those guys, none of them are performers on the level Usher is. I'm sorry. It's just a different kind of performance altogether. So.
Yeah, he's amazing. Anyway, but we love wrestling and we think it's great.
We do. But go look. Please go look up his socks.
I just looked it up. Yeah, the Louis Vuitton socks.
And he tried to post them and be like, look, it's better. They're Louis Vuitton. It's like, no, just look like a $5,000 idiot. That's it. But I love you, JD. I love you. And I want to give you some porridge. All right. So back to the Roman rock of it all.
What about the graphic promo thing that they did with the four of them last night? Did you see that?
Well, they dropped that on Sunday.
Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, whatever. What are our thoughts about that?
That they're saying these are the four guys that WrestleMania is about, essentially.
Yeah.
I guess it was sort of
like the Warrior Hogan thing at the beginning of WrestleMania 6.
I mean, I don't always think of what is the comp to what happened when I was 5 years old, like you do in all things wrestling. But yeah, no, I thought it made sense. It doesn't seem like it's not. It wasn't a promo on the level of WWE videos like we'll see when WrestleMania actually comes. But I think it's cool. I mean, I posted on my Instagram. I was like,
this WrestleMania feels like since I have been watching wrestling week to week again for the last decade because of Peter Rosenberg, I would say this WrestleMania feels like the most something of any WrestleMania in a decade. Is that accurate?
In a decade?
What feels bigger than this scenario we have on our hands here?
Last year felt like a big something. I'm not going to lie.
Just bigger than this year?
No. You said it in a decade.
Yeah.
I feel like...
It's the biggest, he's saying. Biggest.
I feel like I could have said that about last year, that it was the biggest in a decade, even though they did that thing with like Brock and Roman is the...
No, I'm saying this year feels bigger than last year. That's the point I'm making. This feels the biggest.
All right. Well, if you look at it, yes, I think it's the biggest in several years. I'm trying to look back. I mean, is it the biggest since Cena versus The Rock at 29?
I don't think so. Not to me anyway.
What do you think's bigger?
I think Roman and Cody was bigger than Cena and Rock 29, just like the way they built out the show.
But you think this is bigger than that?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I won't go a dip and say like in several decades. I'll just plant the flag down and just like, this feels like the biggest WrestleMania.
I said this decade.
I'll go several decades because even like as many times as Rock and Austin went at it and, you know, Hogan has a string of main events, you throw in Seth and The Rock on top of them building towards that rematch with Roman and Cody, they added an extra something on top of something that was already real, real, real mage to me.
Exactly. It was already going to be a huge deal, and now they're just putting more. So I said this in the post show, and I saw Kaz said it yesterday on the Mass Man show. It does seem like if they're going to focus on these four guys, it seems like that match has to end up being Seth versus The Rock now.
What?
I think we're going to get Seth versus The Rock.
You do?
I do.
No.
If they're going to keep focusing on these four guys being at the top, and last night you get Seth Rollins specifically cutting a promo that ends with him going, "Hey, dude, you're going to need help. I got your back." He's the world heavyweight champion. He's not going to walk to the ring by his side.
Oh, well, we know what's happening then. If that's what happens, we know that The Rock is winning the chain. The Rock is going to be the surprise guy in the chain at Perth. But do we see him in the ring for the first time in Perth? Maybe.
I don't think he has to do it like that though, right? Because he.
But they announced that the winner of the chain gets Seth Rollins. So are they going to reverse course twice on the main event?
Yeah.
They're going to reverse course on the first main event. Now they're going to reverse course on the other main event.
It's a good point.
The winner of the chamber gets Seth Rollins, which will clearly be Drew McIntyre. It shouldn't be. And I can't believe I'm saying this.
You're going to say Ivar should have been Ivar. He should have won his, qualification match last night.
In a real fight, Ivar would have beat LA Knight's ass. Okay. So I don't know. You know, that's not a fact. I've never heard that be relevant
in wrestling before, but that is a fact.
If Ivar and LA Knight were in a shoot fight, Ivar would beat LA Knight's ass. End of story. I'll see you when I see you. Wrestling's great. We love it.
You know what? I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And I'll tell you right now, I said this in the group chat. I don't like LA Knight. I told you he was going to be in the mid card somewhere at this Mania or whatever. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I think he should win the Elimination Chamber because it's what's best for business. I'm not saying it's what's best. I'm not saying it's what's best creatively. I'm not saying it's warranted. I'm not saying that I even want to see it. Okay. But it's what's best for business, for the WWE universe, for LA Knight to come out and you know, be the surprise winner of that match. Everyone thinks Drew McIntyre is going to win that match. And Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins for the title.
I will say this. I agree with you on the fact that I don't care about Seth and Drew, even though I think Drew is doing awesome stuff. I don't care about them together right now.
It's not a marquee match for a WrestleMania.
But by the way, weren't they teasing yesterday, though, more stuff between Drew and Sammy? I mean, Drew got involved in Sammy's match. Cost him the match. Sammy lost to Shinsuke because of Drew. So they have this big history. Drew took out Sammy. I think we may just end up getting Sammy and Drew having a singles match at WrestleMania. That's it.
I'm good with that. I saw that last night with I loved what they did. I'm loving they're getting outside the ring. He's in the crowd with the Shinsuke thing. I'm loving the outside the ring motif that we're seeing now week to week. I didn't think the Andrade promo last night was necessarily all that good, but at least it's like something. They're highlighting him. They're spotlighting. It feels old school. It feels good.
He felt comfortable, though, in that promo. I'll give him that. Like, he felt comfortable cutting a promo in English in a way that I don't necessarily remember him being able to do in NXT or even when he was on the main roster.
It didn't feel that much different, but he sounds great. He looks great. You know, I think Andrade is a great wrestler. But in general, the show Friday and this week, it's feeling like must-see TV again. It just is. It just is, despite The Rock. It just feeling like, you know, there's some things happening and going on.
Despite The Rock? You mean even beyond
In spite of The Rock.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is a strong, strong, even stuff that, like, previously, a Sammy Shinsuke main event on Raw would have felt like a throwaway. And last night, it had ramification. There were still ramification.
But even the way they built to it too, I like Dip said, with Sammy in the empty arena, with Jackie Redmond up in the up in the rafters, and then Shinsuke coming on the big screen and threatening Sammy the same way we've seen him do before. But now it's literally just him and Sammy and Jackie Redmond instead of like the whole audience there to react to it. Like he's literally talking directly to Sammy.
That was great.
It felt mage.
Yeah.
I think there may be something going on.
Yeah. I mean,
I think we all agree. So then now the question will be, does The Rock actually participate? Yeah. What happens to Ivar at WrestleMania? And does The Rock end up in the chamber?
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Does The Rock end up in the chamber? And that would be interesting, man. The Rock in the chamber. First of all, can I just say something? If he's going to have a match at WrestleMania, he should be in the chamber. He should not have his first match in God knows how long at this age at Mania. Now,
I'm sure he's doing some rolls and hitting those ropes, dude. Don't you think he's going to?
Yes, of course.
He has to.
He has to do something, but I still think he should have a match. And it's a good match to have, right? Because you don't have to do that much. I know the chamber can be really painful and kind of miserable for people, but they could have him out last in the chamber. They don't have to have him do any of the big nasty spots, and he could just get opportunity to do a little bit. If he's going to end up in a match, it would make sense to see him get a little work in. Spotlight's not as big. It'll be a big deal. So as much as we complain about, well, do you really want to have him wrestling at 8 a.m. in Perth? Maybe a little bit of upside to that too. Yeah. Let him get one in here.
And if he's going to be corporate Rock, he could throw his weight around in that chamber, right? There's a lot of ways. If the chamber spotlights on him and it opens up and there's other people in the chamber still, he could say, open that one or you're fired. And then when it gets down, just like he just does not come out the chamber until one person's left. And then he has a one-on-one and then he really doesn't have to do anything, right? Because he's fresh. Well, that person has gone through the chamber. That person's beaten down. And then Rock wins and coasts to WrestleMania.
Yes. That's it. By the way, not a bad idea. Here's another idea. You put Solo Sikoa in the chamber with The Rock and he just bitches around Solo Sikoa. And then
how many spaces do we have left?
Two, I think.
Perfect.
You get Solo, put Solo Sikoa to be, you know, to in there with The Rock. He bosses him around and tells him what to do. And he says, you know.
And now I'll take the pin. Thanks.
Yeah, right. Rock takes the pin. Solo gives the thumb to, you know, Sammy or whoever it is.
LA Knight, sure.
LA Knight and the Rock gets the 1-2-3 and he's like the heel winner of the champ.
Easy. There's many ways to do this. It's not rocket science, but it is a lot of fun. And I love that we're going to get this version of the Rock. At least I hope we get it for a while. And we have to talk about the seed that was sown last Thursday with Triple H when they had their backstage interaction. And then Triple H up the ante on Friday night during his promo and talk trash about The Rock. Like they are clearly going to do something with corporate Rock having friction with Triple H being the guy who's like the underling. Basically, it's going to end up pitting Triple H as kind of middle management under The Rock. Yeah. Although Triple H is on the board too, right?
I'm not sure.
He's not on the board.
No.
So when he's in all those things to get, when they have big TKO stuff and Triple H is there, it's not because he's also a board member?
I don't think he's on the board of the company, no.
SGG, you looking it up as we speak?
According to this, he's on, according to Wiki, to Google, he's on the board of directors.
Thank you.
But this also has Stephanie McMahon on the board of directors. So this is definitely.
No.
Oh, that's for WWE then. Because the TK.
He is not on the board.
He's not on the TKO board.
No. I'm looking at the board on the TKO website and he is not on it.
Yeah, me too. He's not there. Yeah. Dwayne Johnson is on the board. So it's actually perfect. So Dwayne is on the board, but Triple H is like the boss of WWE. So he really is kind of middle management for The Rock. So The Rock showing up and bossing him around is tremendous.
I mean, it's awesome. That's
the A plus storyline Dip's waiting
for. You fix it or we will.
That's the storyline that I've been waiting for years.
Yes, an actual. Well, this is what takes you back to the Attitude Era. That's what the Attitude Era, and actually that carried all the way into Ruthless Aggression. There were always characters, a McMahon character of some sort who meant something. And that's sort of the issue that I think a lot of us have had with the use of Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis is like, yes, they are the people who run the show, but they don't have that real gravitas that it's an A storyline ever. They don't feel that way.
There's no struggle for the company. That was always my favorite thing. It's like, for control of the company. That's good stuff.
We love
people
it.
Love that.
And we think it's great.
We do. And we'd love the rest of
it. Let's get to some mail. There's a lot of mail. I mean a lot.
Mail.
Can't wait for Dip's reaction. Brandon, I'm writing you on Monday evening. So excited for the Tuesday pod. As I'm writing this, Dip's favorite Ivar and seemingly least favorite LA Knight are about to have their Elimination Chamber qualifying match. On the one hand, Dip must be ecstatic that Ivar has at least a chance to qualify to raid his way to the Chamber elimination and possibly become the first ever Viking World Champion. But it comes against the bane of Dip's fandom. Curious for the thoughts of Erwin R. Schmeister. Yours in Mageness, Brandon in California.
Erwin R. Schmeister. That is something plus. Erwin R. Schmeister.
How about this? Michael weighs in.
Mail.
Wellness check for Dip. What's up, guys? Hope all is well with you, Peter, SGG, and Dip. This is a quick wellness check for Dip after LA Knight defeated Ivar last night on Raw. Stay mage and enjoy yourselves. Mike from Rhode Island.
I don't think it was deserved. Like I said, if this were a shoot fight, LA Knight would be on the floor.
That's right.
End of story.
And you know Dip, he always wants it to be exactly real life.
It doesn't even make sense that he'd beat Ivar. On what planet is LA Knight beating Ivar?
Well,
I want to know.
He hit him with a BFT.
BFT.
That's how wrestling works.
Come on.
Steve writes us.
Mail.
Dear Pete New York, Greg Philadelphia, and Dip Los Angeles, would it be too much to ask the WWE commentary team to reduce their use of the word Perth, Australia? Maybe they could use it once at the beginning of every show and thereafter assume the average peckerhead will be able to recall what country Perth sits in without the constant 100%. Reminder.
I thought the same thing.
I know that Americans don't have the greatest reputation for their knowledge of international geography, but neither do they have 30-second memories of goldfish. Fair enough. Tyrone writes us.
Mail.
G'day, Pete, SGG, and Dip. I have the Cody booking to end all bookings. Mania, night one, Rock versus Roman. Roman wins clean, and the night ends with Rock acknowledging Roman. Mania, night two, Cody versus Roman. Cody has the upper hand, ref goes down, Solo and Jimmy come out. They're obligated to. Before they get a chance to interfere, out comes Rock with a chair. Then, bam, Rock hits Cody. Roman hits the spear. 1, 2, 3. Rock raises Roman's hand in Philly once again to a symphony of boos. For the next year, Rock is authority figure who pops in sporadically to make Cody's life hell. 2025 Rumble opens with Cody versus The Rock to get his way into the Rumble match. Cody wins, but Rock then informs him that he will be at number one. Odds stacked massively against as Solo is number two and Jimmy is three. Cody does it, wins his third Rumble in a row. winning from 30, 15, and now 1. Over the Mania buildup, Uber babyface Cody tries to remind Rock of who he really is. Heel Rock, though, fully backing Roman against Cody, makes himself the special guest ref for the Mania main event, Mania 41. With everything against him, Cody somehow keeps fighting and keeps going, eventually winning over The Rock, who this time stops a solo interference. Then, when questioned by Roman, hits him with a rock bottom. Cody sees this and quickly leaps into action, taking out Jimmy as he tries to interfere, hits Roman with a couple of crossroads, and The Rock counts 1, 2, 3, finishing the story and being the biggest babyface ever. First person to win 3 Manias in a row, fighting the evil authority. You mean 3 Rumbles in a row. Fighting the evil authority and ending the Bloodline's reign of terror. Always staying mage in Brisbane, Australia. Tyrone.
Oh, he's in Brisbane? That's dope. I love my international fans. It's such a crazy. I mean, I love the fantasy booking. It's mage. I'm into what he said. It's making me think of my own sort of like fantasy booking for the end of this match at Mania. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I could be totally wrong, but I think that this, and maybe Cody won't want this because it's not, you know, he doesn't want any help finishing his story, but I think that this Mania ends, the copyright comes on with The Rock holding Cody Rhodes' hand up in victory in some way.
You think this Mania will end that way?
Yes. I think this Mania will end that way.
I think
we're going to get somewhere. Rock is not wrestling for a year. Okay. I don't think he's popping in or whatever. I think this run ends at Mania.
I sleep 8 hours a day today. Troy, buddy.
Oh no! Wow, you're just playing audio of yourself on the podcast.
Oh yeah, there it is.
That's very Dipperstein of you.
Yeah,
how did I unmute? That's interesting. Were you guys hearing all the other things I was doing too?
No, thank God.
Perfect. Okay, great. Yeah,
where was I?
I don't know. Troy just completely, like any good producer, Troy stops you mid-thought with playing audio of himself in the middle of the pod. This is one of the most egregious acts of a producer in the history of producing. Now, you said you liked the fantasy booking, but you think Rock is not sticking around for a year.
No, The Rock sticks around until Mania, and then it's done, and then he goes about his business in his life. I think that this story gets wrapped up at Mania. We have 7 weeks until WrestleMania. And I think the whole thing gets wrapped up, you know, quickly, and it moves very quickly and progressive, and the progress is very quick up until Mania, and it ends at Mania. And we see The Rock turns baby face at Mania against Roman and holds up Cody's hand.
If I was betting, I'd say as well.
I don't see him at sticking Mania around.
This is probably it for The Rock as far as wrestling a big match and being on TV every other week or whatever. This is the last hurrah for The Rock, is my guess. And Rock is not going to leave the, let me finish. The Rock is not going to leave the WWE universe as a heel. That's my guess. So.
And SGG, you think?
Yeah, I think he lets that heel character sit around a little bit more because, I mean, what benefit? He got bullied into turning heel, first of all, right? So now he does it, and then they have...
Exactly. He doesn't want to be heel.
But they've sort of been bullied into like a gold mine that they could just go at for years and years and years because, like you said, he's on the TKO board. And Shoemaker made this point on the Masked Man show, and it's accurate, and we've seen it come to fruition. That makes him a heel. Just... period. He's not going to be able to be, if he wants to be involved in storylines as a board member, he's not going to be the smiling, happy board member. And we already got Triple H as somebody who's a corporate officer that comes out and gets the love of the crowd. We don't need that from Triple H and The Rock. And Triple H can be the one that shows up more often day to day. And The Rock can be the one who shows up during these major events and just throws a monkey wrench into it because he can. We don't need The Rock and Triple H on the same page because he's not going to leave the board of directors.
The board of directors thing is not a storyline. Okay. It's real.
But what do you mean? We just said it is a storyline.
No, it is now for Mania, but he's actually on the board. It's not fake. He's on the board of the company, which is a major publicly traded company. So, so like, I don't think they really ever make reference to it again after this storyline. They're using it as part of the storyline, which is amazing. And like, I'm so thrilled that they are, because you know, I love that stuff. But I think once The Rock departs this run, I don't think they're like referring to the board all the time. This is it.
No, they're just going to refer to it when he shows up to throw his weight around.
I don't think that. I don't think he's becoming a regular character on wrestling ever again. This is it. This is the run. This is it.
You mean for 2 months?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be longer. I call me crazy. I do. I think. Okay, it's
I hope
be
so. I hope it is. I hope it runs through SummerSlam and runs through Mania next year, and we get The Rock, Cody, or we get the Rock Roman next year, and I hope it just goes on forever. But I think this is it.
When we were growing up,
if I had a chance to,
no, go ahead, P.
No, I was just going to say that if I had a chance to talk to The Rock, I would be like, why would you not want to do it for at least a year? Like, why not? Why not run through at least Mania next year? What? I don't want to hear that you can't do it. I mean, you can. And I would just say, you know, just human to human, I get it. I don't understand what his lifestyle is like being worth hundreds of millions of dollars and having all these potential projects. But people are people. You're going to be older and you're not going to be able to do this anymore. You're still going to be able to do all the movies that you do now, the ones that are well-received and the ones that aren't. They all pay well. They'll all be around. We know the reason The Rock comes back repeatedly to wrestling and the WWE is because of that thrill, the goosebumps that he always shows us. At some point, it'll never be able to happen again.
So, I love when he shows the goosebumps.
So why not do it at least for a year here? That to me, it just doesn't make sense to rush through this. That's how I see it. Sorry, SGG, go ahead.
No, and I was going to say, and even when he can't go anymore, and like he's not going to be the person that's lacing up the boots, when we were growing up, we had Jack Tunney. We didn't see Jack Tunney every day. We didn't see Jack Tunney every month. But when there was a major storyline development that needed some nudging along, we saw Jack Tunney.
We got Jack Tunney.
There's no reason that The Rock can't just be Jack Tunney of this era. Like an evil Jack Tunney.
If The Rock assumes the Jack Tunney role, I think everyone would think that's great. But
amazing.
But by the way, Triple H is Vince at this point. I mean, he has assumed the Vince role. He's the guy, the authority, the person. He's become the guy. It's so great. I mean, who would have thunk this?
Well, except there was basically no character. There was basically never a time when the Mr. McMahon on-screen character resembled this version of Triple H.
No, Triple
H is an all-out good guy authority.
Right.
Figure.
He's very fair.
For now.
For now.
Abusing his power.
Yeah. How long has he been this too? I mean, he hasn't
Triple
been
H
a bad
is a great
guy.
Heel, dude.
Oh, yeah. No. And he's been it since he's been in he was the authority. I mean, literally the authority was bad.
Right. But you still had Vince there sort of looming over, could always pop in and become the higher guy. Now Triple H is the guy.
Except
The Rock. Which would be so amazing. If that were the case, oh my God.
I know.
I would love to see a higher guy pop in from The Rock.
All right, let's hit another mail or two.
Mail.
Okay, here we go. This one's, sup, Stats, P, and Dip. For the last week, and against my better judgment, I've been telling internet wrestling fans to relax and let the company that got them all obsessed with Cody in the first place get to tell a story for more than a few days before they decide it sucks. And now we have a clearer picture of what direction we're heading for this WrestleMania. I love it. As a matter of fact, I think I loved it. I've loved it before. Where else have we seen a presser to announce that a celebrity was going to be part of a big main event at WrestleMania only for our top babyface to throw a monkey wrench into the announcement? I'm thinking these guys are pulling a WrestleMania 14 with The Rock playing the Tyson role. So far, Cody has talked about Roman cheating him and even had Drew talk about how Roman's family always helps him win. Best way to negate that would be to hatch a plan with The Rock to infiltrate Roman's inner circle and possibly insert himself into the main event as a guest referee or something. That way it looks like the fix is in and our hero has to overcome a ton of odds. Only, at the most opportune time, Rocky stops the bloodline from interfering and even counts the three that ends Roman's reign. Huge pop on night two, and you can easily segue for that into a real feud between Roman and Rocky. What are your T's? How did I do on my first email to a podcast ever? I think you did great.
Yeah,
Thierry.
Great job.
Pretty good.
Great job.
Fantastic email.
So he's basically suggesting The Rock would pull off his DX shirt to reveal an Austin shirt.
Yeah.
The idea of The Rock being the special guest referee in the match, I think I might have said this already. I don't know. But The Rock being special guest referee makes a lot of sense. And Cody just has to overcome even more odds with sort of a heel Rock biased against Roman in that match. And finally, he has to count the three for Cody to win. And, you know, I could see it. I could see that happening, too. That's another option.
Did you see how many Samoans Rock is going to have to deal with if he betrays the family? If I'm Rock, I'm not counting the three on that. I don't want to deal with the 300 Samoans that's going to be mad that I betrayed Roman.
But like him face to face after he refuses to count the three at first. It's a classic fodder.
It's classic. It would be classic stuff. It would be very easy to do. You know, you get the poster where we have Roman Cody and they update the poster with The Rock's face in the middle.
They keep showing the poster. It would make sense to put The Rock right in the center of that poster.
Yeah, I mean,
this is happening 1,000%.
They updated the poster too.
Yeah, every day.
Because remember, they had The Rock and Roman up first. And then when Cody made his choice, they like dissolved The Rock and put Cody up.
And then, Seth, when The Rock is messing around in the ring and not counting Cody, you have Seth sort of interfere in the match and like have his back or do something. And that's how he sort of makes good on saying that I have your back after he loses the title to LA Knight.
By the way, that would be very late 80s wrestling style too. It would be very late 80s booking that like The Rock is not in fact the good version of The Rock. So the 90s version would be, The Rock actually turned out to always be on Cody's side, or eventually came to be on Cody's side. The 80s version would be, The Rock is not on Cody's side. He is, in fact, a bad guy and remains a bad guy. And at the last moment, when you finally were like, I guess Seth is not going to be helping out Cody anymore because he already had a match earlier and beat Drew, all of a sudden you hear Gorilla Monsoon yelling, you know, where's Elizabeth going? And she comes back with Seth Rollins running down the ramp to finally get in the way and stop The Rock from doing what he's doing. Now Seth Rollins has defended his championship and looks mage because he beats down The Rock on the same night. Cody gets the win. 1, 2, 3. Cody and Seth celebrating the WrestleMania together like 20-some years ago when Eddie Guerrero and Redacted both celebrated together at WrestleMania.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you get that baby face double celebration.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like Survivor Series 1990 when Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan raised each other's hands at the end when they survived the final match.
It always comes back. Everything in life comes back to Survivor Series 1990. Am I right? The ultimate Survivor. The point is this. And as we close out, it's full circle. This is why I love you, Goldie. And I tell you, you're being a fool. Because regardless of the exact breakdown of how Thursday played out, we now have 10 different fun things to speculate about with just the main event title picture. It's amazing. I'm grateful for it. It's going to be an epic run to Mania. We are going to see celebrities at WrestleMania like we've never seen before. We're going to see publicity like it's WrestleMania 14. It's going to be mage up a storm. Everyone agree?
Agree, 1,000%. And something that we didn't speculate about is the idea that what if Rock does find his way into the world championship match with Seth Rollins, and then WrestleMania ends with The Rock and Roman as champions celebrating. There's a lot of ways it could go. And I'm cool with all of them, by the way. I'm cool with all of it.
Like, oh my, by the way, you have that's a crazy idea. Having The Rock and Roman both with two titles as the head, like the two, like the bloodline with the championships. Ooh, now we're having a conversation.
I mean,
emergency pod.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
All right, everyone. We appreciate you being here. Send your emails to rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. We'll definitely get to more as the week goes on. I'd also like to, I have to admit, to say we're giving AEW short shrift these days would be the understatement of the cinch. I feel like we've barely mentioned AEW since MJF went on the shelf. So
Let's talk about it Friday.
Well, that would require watching the show between Wednesday and Friday, Dip. You think you have that in your arsenal?
If I'm asked to by my client, Peter Rosenberg, who
Let's try to watch Dynamite and have something to say this week, because obviously it's Mania season. This is a tough run, but I would like to see what's going on. Also, is Mercedes Moné going to be debuting any day? Is that like a thing?
They'll probably debut during the Mania.
They announced an event in March called Big Business. And literally on the graphic, it says that it's taking place from Boston, B-O, $$, T-O-N.
Oh, wow.
And she in her bio that she's also from Boston, Massachusetts, B-O, $$. So, I mean, it's not any day. People have a specific date that they're looking at, and it's being heavily hinted at. Tony Khan made the announcement for the event, so it's happening.
Wait, but by the way, though, can I just say this? If that is fine if they have her show up as a surprise before that. You can't have that be the debut where it's completely... That is like as telegraphed can be.
And that's what's happening.
But why not? But they could have her show up on TV tomorrow. You don't know. And then you still get a surprise at least.
Let's talk about it on Friday.
All right.
I would say, what if you had Ivar and The Rock both holding up?
All right, everyone. It's been great. With respect to Ivar, we'll see you next time.
Stay mid.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. At this time, I would like to introduce, in the corner to my left,
the Majesty.
Rosenberg.
And then I went to makeup and like sat in front of the mirror a little bit and got myself together.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce...
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Midge.